Low oil prices push BP to slash a key shareholder payout. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The coronavirus pandemic has brought troubled times for many industries, including oil and gas. A drop in demand as people work from home and think twice about traveling has pushed global oil prices down roughly 40% this year and led British energy giant BP to book a record $6.7 billion loss in the second quarter. Michael Hewson, chief market strategist at CMC Markets, says the company's decision to cut its shareholder dividend payment in this environment was inevitable.
They face the same challenges that Royal Dutch Shell do. And ultimately, I think the pressure to act became much easier once Shell had basically taken the step to cut their dividend for the first time since 1945. And there was also the fact that Bernard Looney is the new CEO, and ultimately, I think he wants to stamp his mark on the company.
So to make his mark on the company, the BP announced a new strategy to focus on green energy rather than calling itself a traditional oil company. Is it coming at the right time?
If anything, it's coming too late. This has been a long time coming, this renewable energy. And BP, I think, was one of the trailblazers. But, you know, in 2018, it spent $10.5 billion on a shale project in the US. So they've been sending mixed messages. They have been one of the forerunners. In 2017, they spent $200 million on acquiring a 43% stake in Lightsource, which is one of Europe's foremost solar projects. So it does have skin in the game. But in 2018, the total big oil companies' spend of their combined budgets was 1% on renewables. That needs to go up an awful lot.
Michael Hewson, chief market analyst at CMC Markets. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shares of BP are popping more than 7% amid a broad rise in global stocks today. Meanwhile, Argentina said it's reached a deal with creditors to restructure $65 billion in debt it's already defaulted on. While Australia has been praised for keeping its coronavirus outbreak under control, but cases are spiking in Victoria, the country's second most populous state, which generates about 22% of the nation's economic activity. Last month, lockdown restrictions were reimposed. Now a $3,500 fine is coming into effect for residents who ignore orders to self-isolate. The BBC's Phil Mercer explains why.
Police in Victoria have said they've been taunted and assaulted by people flouting COVID-19 regulations. The Australian Army has also visited hundreds of residents who've tested positive for the disease, but many weren't in when they should have been in isolation. Victoria's Police Commissioner Shane Patton said small groups had emerged who saw themselves as sovereign citizens who don't think the law applies to them.
On at least three or four occasions in the past week, we've had to smash the windows of people in cars and pull them out of there so they could provide their details because they weren't telling us where they were going. They weren't adhering to the Chief Health Officer guidelines. They weren't providing their name and their address.
And heavy fines could now be imposed as millions of Australians prepare for at least 6 weeks under the nation's toughest lockdown measures.
The BBC's Phil Mercer there. Black Lives Matter protests have had a huge impact across the world. In Ghana, they've reinvigorated efforts to attract disillusioned African Americans to visit, build a new life, and help revive the nation's economy. The BBC's Mike Johnson reports.
We continue to open our arms and invite all our brothers and sisters home.
Ghana's tourism minister, Barbara Otteng-Jassy, speaking in June at a wreath-laying ceremony for George Floyd in the Ghanaian capital, Accra. The message to Americans of African descent was clear. If you don't feel wanted in the United States, you will feel wanted in Ghana. And with Ghana's economy expected to grow this year at its slowest rate for four decades, the country needs new investment and fresh talent.
You feel so warm. Welcome in palms.
The voice of the Ghanaian filmmaker Kukua Eshen, narrating her latest production called Artist Act of Love. Kukua is now 26. She came back to Ghana from the United States in 2018. Born in Accra, she moved to Ohio when she was a teenager, where she experienced racism for the first time.
Every time after work, my manager checks my bag in front of customers to see if I took anything. And I remember seeing my other colleagues who were in black walk past me without their bags being checked. As soon as I park my car in the parking lot, I have to run inside my house because I'm scared. Sorry, I don't mean to. I remember this so well because I was so scared. In Ghana, for the first time, I didn't have to be scared. It was just, I was free.
Kukua may have decided to go back, but every year for the past two decades, more people have wanted to leave Ghana than make it their home. Professor Joseph Teye is director of the Center for Migration Studies at the University of Ghana.
About 3,000 Afro-Americans have returned. It's not as if people are massively returning to Ghana. Unemployment rates are quite high. Some are still skeptical about the economic prospects.
But Kukua has no regrets.
I think that returning to Ghana saved my life in many ways, and all the great things that I could be started to unfold.
It's a decision the government will be hoping many more people of African descent make in the years ahead. I'm the BBC's Mike Johnson for Marketplace.
Finally, Tokyo health officials have found low-tech isn't always the best tech. They're letting go of the humble fax machine after having relied on it for months to count daily coronavirus infections. They've switched to a centralized database, less prone to delays and mistakes, which also allows patients to self-report symptoms. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.